Every tool is a hammer if you put parachute pants on it. Welcome to Comedy Bang Bang. Thank you to Nicknames Expert. Nicknames Expert for that catchphrase submission. I believe a new catchphrase submitter. Thank you so much, Nicknames Expert. Not an expert on nicknames, but it is possessive. Nicknames, nickname apostrophe S. Expert, so I don't quite know what that means, but thank you to them for submitting that, and welcome to Comedy Bang Bang for another edition. We have an incredible show. I know I'm used to saying that, but this time I actually mean it. I have not meant it every single other time. This is the first time I've ever meant it, so you are in for a treat. Coming up a little later, we have a businessman. Businessman, that not an entrepreneur, let me be clear, a businessman. So that is going to be an incredible conversation. We also, my new neighbor is going to be on the show, as a lot of you know. I recently moved into the neighborhood and I have a new neighbor. So I thought, hey, you know, why meet them in person, you know, at their place? Why not invite them onto the podcast? This is my true home. So coming up first, though, we have... a gentleman, he is returning to the show. He has not been on in 8 years, approximately. One of the longest stretches. Look, I got to say, though, it's even longer for the people who are on once and then never returned. So, you know, we're happy to see him back. He is an actor who first burst onto the screens back in the early 2000s on a little show called The OC, and then leapt into movies such as Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Sleeping with Other People, Shazam. He has two movies out right now, both of which I've seen and we'll talk about, Promising Young Woman and The Kid Detective, which is available on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital right now. Returning for the first time in 8 years, Adam Brody.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I didn't want to come back till I had anything good to plug, and it's been a minute.
So I think in between then, you've done a lot of stuff. So you don't think any of it is any good?
No.
Okay, good. No, I mean, I liked a lot of Sleeping with Other People. Shazam, they're all good stuff.
Those weren't mine. These are mine. Kid Detective's mine.
Good. Well, it's great to have you back on the show. I've been a big fan of yours ever since the OC days. And you're always very funny and popping up in little comedy projects and stuff like that. You've always had ties to the comedy community. So it's great to have you back on this show, which also shares similar ties with the comedy community. Yes.
I walk in both worlds, the drama and the comedy.
You're much like Blade.
I'm a daywalker.
You're a daywalker and a nightwalker. I would love to see you in the movie Blade. Now, look, obviously you can't play Blade, not in this climate, but I would love to see you. Remember how Stephen Dorff?
I was just going to say that. Yes.
You could be the new Stephen Dorff.
I'd love to be the old Stephen Dorff.
Sure, why not? Any iteration of Stephen Dorff, I would love to be. It's great to have you on the show. And both of your films I saw in the last couple of days. Promising Young Woman, I did not even know you were in. Not due to any faultings
of your
own or your PR department, but you have you're not necessarily the star of it like you are in Kid Detective. You have a pivotal role, which I don't necessarily want to spoil Promising Young Woman all that much, but you play a role that sort of gets everything going. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm the first assaulter, the first. Rapist, maybe.
Oh, God. Okay. I didn't want to spoil it, but...
I think the cat's out of the bag now.
Yeah, if people don't know what Promising Young Woman is about, it's about a woman who sort of takes... It's sort of like the old revenge movies, in a way, where, you know, a person is wronged and they then take revenge upon a bunch of people. And what's interesting about the film is it's cast... I don't know who cast it. Do you remember who cast it?
No.
Okay.
Sorry. I wish I did, but I don't.
But the casting is so interesting because it casts all these really funny comedians in it. almost like it's on purpose. Like, you're really funny, and Sam Richardson, and...
I think more than even humor, the through line there with all the men is, you know, affable, playing mostly, right. You know, known for playing nice guys
that Bo Burnham.
You would take home to mom.
Right. Yeah. They're all these really nice guys. And in your, since you've already spoiled it, in your first scene, you are kind of the nice guy in your group, which is really interesting. And you are the one kind of telling the other guys who are these sort of lecherous guys to take it easy. And you go out of your way to help this young person. And then in between you taking her home and the bar that you find her at, you make a diversion to your place. And you find out that you're not as nice as you seem.
Yeah. And what's so funny and disgusting about it is I think he thinks they're really hitting it off. You know, right. He's not like, I'm gonna, you know, he doesn't have a nefarious plan. I don't think he thinks like, there's
a spark between us, right? Which is like, when you're observing it from the outside, like we are, there's obviously nothing going on. It's like, you know, and the film really explores that in a really interesting way. So I thought it was really cool that you were involved in that. So kudos to you for being in an interesting film.
Yes, thank you. Well, it was my treat.
Was it a treat? Did you get a treat at the end of every filming day?
Oh boy, no. You get older, and the craft service and the catering doesn't have the same
allure.
Yeah, the same aromatic.
Did they make mini grilled cheese sandwiches ever?
I don't remember. It's almost exclusively tied to the budget. And this was fairly mid-low, so it was probably not that good. Grilled cheese probably was the order of the day.
The director ever order a coffee truck as a treat?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that. And what a treat.
Oh, boy. Something you could go to any corner in America now get for yourself. Well, that's a great film, but primarily you're here to talk about The Kid Detective, which you star in. And I saw this last night, and it's really, really funny and really good. I really, really enjoyed it. You know, a lot of times I have people on the show before I see their thing, and then I watch their thing, and I'm like, yeah, boy. But Kid Detective is really good. It's on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital right now, but it was in theaters at the end of last year.
So weird. It was like, we got this, you know... Took forever to get this movie made. I mean, years and years and years and years to get.
Were you involved from the beginning?
Yeah, the director approached me with this idea even before the script 8 years ago, and then a year later showed me the first act, and I was like, "It's great." And then disappeared. We talked about it a little. Disappeared.
It took him a year to write the first act. This is slow.
Well, I'm sure he had other stuff going on. And then, but that said, he's not prolific, and came back. A year later with I kind of forgot about it with the finished screenplay. And then it was a 5-6 year journey looking for money for this, which is so boring.
Were you out there knocking on doors yourself or?
Yeah. I mean a handful, you know, we went to a handful of meetings and conversations about pitching in places, and finding indie financing is like I've done it, you know, a handful of times and been involved in trying to do it. And it's such a boring racket because there's companies, but they don't have money, or everyone's like, yeah, we'll make your movie. If you get movie stars to do it for scale, no problem, you know?
Right.
And which is, you know, hard. And then you're meeting people that either don't have money, or you're meeting even worse. You're having these dinners with random, like people that have oil money or tons of money from a different industry and are just and don't know anything about movies, and you've got to indulge them
they find the movie industry to be sexy and they want to get involved,
and you've got to explain the subtleties of your movie to someone who doesn't really speak the language and ultimately isn't going to make it. And you know, I get a little bitter about having spent my time that way, but ultimately, the way we really got this movie made was the Canadian government telefilm paid for.
That's right. Well, I wanted to say I was watching this last night, and I don't know where it was supposed to be set in the film, but
fictional Americana.
Fictional Americana, suddenly one of the actors said a boat.
Yeah.
And I said, this motherfucking movie was made in Canada. And I looked it up, and sure enough, everyone in it is Canadian except you.
Yeah. Which was wonderful, actually, because what it allowed us, we filmed in this town called North Bay, Ontario, 3 hours north of Toronto. And although it's been used for a lot of Hallmark movies, town has a lot of character, and it's certainly not overshot. So you have fresh locations and to pillage. And then the cast, too. I mean, it's not that, you know, not everyone was green. There's a lot of veteran Canadian actors. But
the cast is really, really good, but they're not faces that you've seen.
You probably didn't recognize anyone. Maybe a couple people. And I
think the dead boy's father, obviously, is
Zima.
He's great. He's in everything. He's amazing.
Funny enough, I hear that. Yeah, I didn't recognize him, but I liked him a lot. And he's great. And I've heard people clearly.
When you're married to an Asian woman, you know a lot about him.
But I, you know, it's one of my favorite things as a moviegoer is kind of witnessing a fresh cast, a bunch of faces mm-hmm. I haven't seen before, be really good. So
yeah, I mean, the cast was great, and I kept looking up the individual actors going like, wow, they're so good. What else have they done? And to a man, they were all Canadian people who mainly have done Canada stuff. I'm like, wow, they must have acting classes up there in Canada or something.
Something, yeah.
I don't know. it seems exotic, but they must teach acting classes up there.
It's crazy. I mean, you know, there's a lot of good actors that just, myself included, just a good part will do wonders for you.
Well, that's what I wanted to say. You did
a well-written part.
You did this for scale, you said.
I didn't, but I did.
Oh, okay. How much of the budget?
I didn't say that, but I certainly did.
How much of the budget was your fee? 75%?
Not much.
But it's obviously it's a low budget film, and you're doing it just for the love of it. I mean, it's a great part. I mean, it reminded me of things like The Long Goodbye mm-hmm. in a way.
Yeah.
Talk about what is the film about? I've actually had kid detectives on this show before.
No.
Yeah. They're bizarre people. They've been on two or three times, but this is about a former kid detective. Is that right?
Yeah. This is about a washed up. He was a famous kid detective in his town. Your Encyclopedia Brown, Nancy Drew. And he got a lot of accolades when he was 12. His secretary, who was also his age, went missing and was never found. And that
he was sort of tasked to find her in a way. The whole town was banking on it.
At least in his own mind and in a way in the towns, and certainly the other kids felt like he should. And he kind of never got over it or really moved on. And not that he's trying to solve the case, but he just never really dealt with it emotionally or otherwise. And 20 years later, he's still, looking for missing cats and stuff when a high school girl tasks him with finding her boyfriend's killer.
Right. So it's got a funny sounding premise, but it's not, and it is kind of a comedy. And there were scenes that I was really laughing during all the closet stuff was really making me laugh. But it also is tonally a little dark as well.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous high concept, you know, Adam Sandler premise, but it's taken about as seriously as you could ever take that premise.
Right.
While still being very funny, mostly funny. But
it is grounded. Yeah. That's the thing. And your performance, I think, does a lot for that. I mean, this is just a minor joke, but the fact that when you were young and you were given free ice cream for life and you're still getting it as a burnout that the town doesn't respect anymore, but you're still cashing in on that. And it's so subtle and played for like such subtlety. It's really,
it's pretty much silent. Just the ice cream owner, just,
and the guy just glaring at you as he gives you your free scoop.
Me shamefully taking it. Yeah. There's some, but you know, the writer Evan is a very, very good friend of mine now and director. He's got a unique voice all his own. It's a little stylized, you know. I can hear pieces of Whit Stillman. I can hear pieces of the Coen brothers and Wes Anderson. And that sounds obnoxious. Those are some of my favorite filmmakers. And yet that sounds obnoxious. Anyone even remotely in that territory. And yet it's not. He's wonderful. And he's got his own, he's got his whole own voice and palette. But
what else had he done before this? And well, how did he get the script to you? How did he get to know you? How does someone pass a script to Adam Brody?
I met him at Toronto. He was there with a film that he was involved in. And then again at Sundance, he was there for the same film. His film won Slam Dance, that was down the street. Anyways, like, you know, a decade ago almost. But it's called The Dirties. And he was an editor, producer, somewhat writer, very instrumental, and his fingerprints are over it, maybe more even than his titles would suggest. But it's a special film as well, and shares a lot of similarities. It's a found footage movie about two kids, high schoolers, who are making a sort of comedy, Jackassy type movie for their video class, and it devolves into a school shooting in the third act. So what starts as grounded but very funny ends in a place you just could never have thought, with the stakes as real as, you know, that suggests. And, you know, it's a similar trick in this one.
Yeah, I mean, the tonally it keeps bouncing back and forth from just laugh out loud funny scenes that are still grounded and not, you know, like crazy like an Adam Sandler film, like you said. But then the actual what is going on in the town is very dark and very real to all of the participants.
Yeah. And, you know, I would just say again, like, it's not in no way trying to be hardcore, like, yeah, it got fucking dark. We're cool.
Right.
It's elegant. He's wonderful. He's a poet. And all of it has such a heart and sense of humor, never loses its sense of humor. It's never, none of it is a pose, you know, any of the darkness is.
It's not flirting with a darkness like movies in the 90s seem to be, like, in a shocking way, like, ha ha ha, isn't it funny that.
Or some deconstruction of a comic book movie where we're blowing heads off, you know, like right. It's very, very human and funny and bleak.
Right. And more people should see it. I mean, it came out.
Oh, sorry. So real fast. You asked me about the theaters question.
Oh, yeah.
So anyways, we made this movie. It's Long Road. And then unbeknownst to us, we would have still taken the money anyway we had it. But turns out, like, it was always going to kind of go to Sony if they wanted it. And thank you, Sony, on one hand. But they're a big company, not Sony Classics, which would have been nice. And they would, you know, kind of know exactly what to do with this kind of thing, but big Sony, and they bought
it. They make TVs still, right?
They make, I think,
and
they
motorcycles,
make, like,
maybe.
I don't know, everything. And so, anyways, they bought it. We didn't have much of a say, but we're happy that, you know, a big company was buying it, and crossed our fingers. And then we talked to the advertising people, the marketing people. They're like, we're not sure what's going to happen. This is pandemic. This is, you know, in late summer, early fall, and like, we're not sure what's going to happen. We'll let you know as soon as we do. And then, like, 3 weeks later, they're like, okay, we're going to come out next week on 850 screens. Here's a rough cut of the trailer. Here's some poster ideas. Weigh in, you know? And this was on, like, a Wednesday. We gave a few notes, finalized. It's a Friday. They put the materials out, you know, just online on Monday for it to be released.
That Friday.
Very wide release that Friday. And it was, you know, this bittersweet, it was very weird because it's like, all right, we're hugely, you know, a major release, but invisible, and it's a abandoned apocalyptic, you know, theaters and country and surreal. But it allowed us to at least get reviewed by a lot of places, which was beneficial.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of times I know. My wife put out her film in a couple of theaters because it guaranteed reviews. Yeah. So that's one way to do it. But yeah, I mean, did you ever get to see it with an audience in the theater?
No. And it would have been, I mean, you know, we'll join the club on that one, but it would have been wonderful. I know it would play so good with an audience. It's such a pleasing movie. It's such a crowd pleasing movie. I think it's funny.
It really
is.
And you never tested it with a live audience or anything like that?
I mean, we're in quarantine the whole time. So we got to tweak the editing for, you know, 8 months of just showing it to different friends, but never a large group.
Right. Yeah. No. Well, I would suggest that people either rent this or buy it and gather up everyone in the neighborhood in your own pod and just, you know,
pod viewing,
yeah. project it onto the side of your house. And, you know, it is really, it's really enjoyable. It's one of those films that I saw and I was like, oh man, more people need to know about this. Cause it's really interesting, really funny, nice. Really cool.
Well, it's been interesting too, to kind of try and spread the word. I mean, normally I do a little press for a week and then wash my hands of whatever. And because also you can track it online, with Letterboxd, and you see exactly the social, chatter. And so I feel like we just tagged it and released it into the wild online and we're just following it. Right. And yeah, a lot of people are still, just hearing of it for the first time. So it feels worthwhile to keep talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of disappointing these days when you put out a film, especially when you put it out on a streamer, and it seems like all of the talk about the film is done within 3 days, and then no one ever mentions it ever again. So something like this, it could build with word of mouth. And get bigger and bigger, and then get smaller, and then get bigger again.
Yeah.
And,
we've had a few peaks and valleys so far, where it's like, oh, it's more people are seeing it today than any day, and then kind of starts to die off. And then somebody sends a very influential tweet or review, and all of a sudden the traffic.
Well, let's get that
journey, but it's nice.
Yeah, let's get the Comedy Bang Bang bump going for you. Let's get all of our listeners out there. People can, it's on video on demand. Is that how it, I know it's on DVD and Blu-ray.
I mean, yeah, who cares, but it's on,
right.
But it's certainly,
you'll find it.
You can rent it on Amazon and Apple and all those places. I can't imagine anyone ordering the hardware, but be my guest. And, I will just say too, that despite any release, whatever we got to make, ultimately we got to make the movie we wanted to make. While it's low budget, we would have made it for a lot less. So we had a healthy budget for what we wanted to do and no notes. We got to be left alone. So we have it for posterity. It's what we wanted to do. And that alone.
I do have some notes, though.
Is a dream.
I hope you'll take them. Maybe do a recut, director's cut with my notes involved.
If the audience is there for it.
Sure. Much like the Snyder cut. Yeah. Release the Aukerman notes cut.
Yes.
Well, it's really great. The Kid Detective is out now. DVD, Blu-ray, digital. It's really great. I want to direct our
Thank
listeners
you, Scott.
To see it. We need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have a businessman. I mean, you had all these dinners with businessmen. Is this going to be an uncomfortable flashback to those at all? Do you think?
I think I can bring some of my my expertise, my experience to the table.
Okay.
No pun intended.
Hopefully we'll get some funding out of this businessman. We also have my new neighbor will be on the show. We will be right back with more Comedy Bang Bang, more Adam Brody. We'll be right back after this. Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast, is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace, you know what it is. It's the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it is easy to create a beautiful website to engage with your audience all on your terms. And let me tell you something. You do not want to miss Fluid Engine. Oh, Fluid Engine is here. A next-generation website design system from Squarespace. You start with a best-in-class website template, and then customize every design detail with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. And with the new asset library, you're able to manage all your files from one central hub and use them across the Squarespace platform. So head to squarespace.com for a free trial. When you are ready to launch, of course, go to squarespace.com/bangbang. to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Comedy Bang Bang, we're back. Adam Brody is here, of course, from the OC. Is there going to be an OC, The Next Generation, where you play the Peter Gallagher role, do you think?
Not where I play the Peter Gallagher role, but there might be an OC.
Meaning not his literal role.
I know, where I'm in it.
Okay.
Where I'm in it as an older man. No. But whether they do it again or not, I don't know. It seems like a weird one to adapt, actually. Like, I almost would have thought they would have if they could have already. but it seemed like a tough
wasn't
nut
there
to crack.
Wasn't it announced at one point like they were going to reboot
think so.
It or something?
I don't think
okay.
So.
What about a Growing Up Brady sequel that covers their recent HGTV show, the Very Brady Renovation? Would you be in that?
Oh, gosh, I'm going to have to pass on that one, too.
Oh, gosh. Why? This is not I don't. Please tell me if you if I'm overstepping my bounds. But and this is not a knock, but I would like to see you in more things. Hmm. That's
a big overstep, my friend.
Should you? But I guess what I mean to say is. And I don't mean this to say like you're not doing a lot of things, but I want you to be in more things. You know, like it's all
I appreciate that very much. You know, I mean, me too, to a certain extent. On the other hand, I got a nice work-life balance. And
I was going to say my questions I wanted to ask you is how do you balance work and family and what is your fitness routine?
And also, since I've seen you last, you know, I've been working the whole time at some stuff people see, some stuff clearly they don't. And I'm not even saying that that's a crime, but I feel like I've had a nice thing going, but it's a lovely sentiment that I want to
see you in these big, obviously you were in Shazam, the DC extended universe, you know, home of the Snyder Cut as well. Are you in that Snyder Cut?
Not yet, but I think they're still tweaking.
Anything can happen. I mean, he's still shooting the thing as far as I've heard.
I mean, me too, to a certain extent, you know, like I said, I don't necessarily need to be on the road all year.
What do you do all day?
Well, I've got some kids. So,
you have two kids, from what I've heard, from what I've read, unless you snuck a few in there that you haven't announced publicly.
No, you've heard correct. So it's a lot of that, which is wonderful. I've been surfing a lot. My wife and I have been surf a lot together, actually.
Whoa. On like a tandem surfboard that's like connected by a bar or something?
No. We separate in the water and then we, you know, hold hands going in and out.
That's a great life lesson, I think. Separate in the water, hold hands going in.
Yeah. And other than that, try to get those next things going.
You have from what I can tell, it looks like you have a lovely home. You're in front of a bookcase with approximately four pictures behind you and books.
I put my wedding photo down just so it wouldn't be
distracting.
Not distracting, but I don't know.
In case anyone were to photograph this Zoom, you don't want.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I wouldn't worry about that. But I just when I'm doing the Zooms.
Is that a picture of Morrissey behind you?
It's a picture of Jack Parsons, who was a... have you heard of Jack Parsons, anyone?
Definitely heard of Jack Parr. If you would stop there, I would have heard of him.
Such a great book called Strange Angel. They made the show on CBS at All Access kind of recently. It's okay. I'm a little bitter. And I had the... I tried to get it made a lot, you know, for a long time. But... a great LA history biography. It's just like a must read. If you like LA, he was a rocket scientist. He trained explosives expert who invented rocket fuel by just blowing shit up and ultimately himself.
Wow.
In Pasadena, the early days of Caltech. And then at the same time, was very into sci-fi and got very into black magic under Aleister Crowley and became sort of also like friends/rivals with a young L. Ron Hubbard and who ended up running off with his wife and who was really his previous wife's younger sister. Anyways, a lot of salacious stuff, but it's just a wonderful LA history.
It crosses
so many different such a cross section of so many different things happening in LA in the first half of the 20th century.
I've never heard of that. Sounds incredible.
And I can't recommend it enough. Strange Angel, the book. It's such a quick read and you'll love it.
You have a picture of him next to your wedding picture.
Well, the wedding picture's over there next to my...
I mean, they're approximately 2 feet apart, maybe, if that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're equal importance. And I got my old dog and I got photo. Nice, handsome photo of my grandpa.
Okay, so all of them are personal pictures except for the one of this guy.
Yeah, I was given it by the author of the book at the time that I optioned the rights. Not that that holds, like, I optioned the rights and it holds, it's just a nice photo and I just need something.
What if he had given you a picture of himself? Would you have put it up?
No. No, unfortunately. Although he's a cool-looking guy, George.
Cool
Kendall,
guy, but David. It wouldn't have been placed right next to the wedding photo.
It's a cool photo. And he does look like Morrissey. And that's from, like, the 30s. So it's cool.
Wow, it is cool. Well, I'm sorry to hear that the rights no longer belong to you, but maybe you can
they
get
made
them back.
It. I'm too old now. He died at 37.
You could still play.
I could do it. I just don't want to.
Oh, okay. I'm sensing why I don't see much.
Well, he also, so much of his life was in his 20s. You know, the cinematic element of his life was also in his early 20s and 20s. And
so we need a young Adam Brody type here. Who would you say is
the older? Who's the next?
Yeah, who's the next Adam Brody? If you,
I don't know.
The next generation of actors.
I get
out
a lot
there.
On Twitter. It's a constant comparison to Dylan O'Brien. So maybe him.
Dylan O'Brien. What's Dylan O'Brien from?
He's in it. I saw his movie. He's got a movie people like called Love and Monsters right now. But I believe, like myself, he was Teen Wolf was his jumping off point.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with the whole filmography, but people.
But
like
you are in Shazam. You're the older
Jack Dylan Grazer.
Jack Dylan Grazer, who was on the Comedy Bang Bang television show, playing my son.
Oh, really?
One of his first roles.
Wow.
I always appreciate seeing my sons go out into the world and get good parts. So
speaking of aging, we're going to do the sequel to that soon, and you know, those kids are getting pretty old and we're getting even older. And so it's at a certain point, they're not going to want to turn into us anymore. That's
right. At a certain point, you guys are just going to kind of look at each other and be like, oh yeah, we're about even at this point. And then, suddenly you're older.
Yeah.
This is a good idea though. A reverse Shazam about an older guy who turns into a younger
boy. Yeah. There you go.
Okay. You and I, we're going to do this.
I love it.
Do you think the Shazam people will be mad that you're doing this as a separate side project?
No. They're very supportive of me.
Okay, they are really, it's like a family over there, not family. Just on
it's
screen.
It's a big DC family.
Well, speaking of family, we need to extend our family and have another first-time guest on the show. He is a businessman, and I don't know quite what his business is, but we're going to be speaking to him for the first time. Please welcome to the show, Gary Candles.
Hi, Scott. How are you today?
I'm great. It's great to have you on the show. Great to meet you. This is Adam.
Thank you. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Gary.
Hi. It's great to see you guys. I am a businessman.
That's what I said. Yeah.
And I heard you. I own my own driver's education company, Gary Candles Drivers Education. And I like to teach people to drive. It's simple. And it's easy, but it's something everybody deserves and everybody likes to do. What's your favorite thing to do?
Favorite thing of all things to do?
Driving.
Out of everything I've ever done?
Probably driving.
I don't even know if driving would hit the top 10. I don't know, Adam.
Top 20?
You know, for the private, if I'm driving alone and I get to listen to some podcasts or make some calls, it's pretty lovely.
It's pretty fun too. Wouldn't that be horrible if you didn't know? If you picture a world where you didn't know how to do that, and picture a world where you knew how to drive, but it was the wrong way, or you drove the wrong direction, but you were driving the wrong way. You need somebody and to freshen up your driving skills, possibly learning for the first time. As long as you're 14 years old and you have a driver's permit.
Adam, if you could, instead of driving, if you could surf everywhere, like they in LA, they just opened up, you know, like canals with, you know, fake waves everywhere. And you could just like surf to the Sony lot. Would you do that instead?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I would. No disrespect to Gary, but
no disrespect taken. But I think if we're all honest with ourselves, that's not going to happen, is it?
No,
we're going to need those cars. We're going to need somebody to teach us how to drive as long as you're 14 years old with a driver's permit or younger.
I think it's interesting that you're suggesting sort of going in, you're never too old to kind of brush up on your skills too. It's not just for beginners.
Yeah. It's not just for beginners.
Do you get a lot of people who already have their licenses who come in and just say like, yeah, I'd like to learn how to drive better?
Absolutely. In fact, I would say the majority of my clientele are people who already either have their license and are looking to brush up, or they are people that have never driven before and are not even familiar with the concept of driving, and they need somebody like me to help them.
So it's evenly split between people who already have their licenses and people who don't even know the concept of driving?
No, I would say the majority, which is not evenly split, Scott.
51%?
Yeah, it's 51% or more have never even heard of the concept of driving.
Who has never heard of the concept? Who are they? Are these?
You'd be shocked who's out there. My father always used to say the world's a crazy place full of crazy people. And I've met a lot of them. And I'll tell you this. You're probably thinking there's a lot of driving schools out there. There's a lot of driving education that people can take advantage of, but mine's different. I put you in real scenarios. I put you in the car on day one, whether or not you know how to drive or have ever seen a car, and we're going to figure things out.
So that's different. I do believe when I took, Adam, I don't know when you took a driver's education. I believe I took mine in high school when I was 15 years old or so.
14 years older with a driver's permit, or older or younger. And you can sign up for my class.
Any person.
I've taught animals. I've taught for movie sets. I've taught animals how to drive. I'm sure you've seen animals driving in movies.
Toons is the family cat. He was a famous animal that drove.
I remember him. I think that was before I came up. I think that was before my time. And also it was fake.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I know it was okay.
So Some are faked.
Who are the real animals that are driving? I don't know. Did Garfield drive a Babe drove?
Babe drove. They cut it from the movie. He had a very long driving. Wow. He had a very long driving scene.
How long are we?
It was from Babe Pig in the City. He had to get to the city. Right, and I think they replaced it with him being driven there. But originally in the script, it was he drives for a bit.
It's kind of bougie of Babe to be driven into the city. I think it
didn't fit the tone. Eventually, they figured out it just didn't fit the tone of the film.
Right. Is it difficult to teach animals to drive? I don't know where I would even begin.
It's very hard. It's very hard. And sometimes I don't know where to begin. And I would say when you're teaching an animal to drive, about 95% of whether or not they can learn or complete the driving task at the end is pure luck.
Luck.
Yeah. So most of the time an animal will not learn to drive and it will be catastrophic in how it ends up. Most of the time. Every once in a while, though, it does
work. Is that another 51% of the time? Or the majority of the time?
The majority. 50, just over 50 to 51 plus. But what I do is I try to lean towards teaching humans who are interested, regardless of their age, and I put them in real driving scenarios.
What are these you keep mentioning real driving scenarios. Is that driving a car? I mean, I can't imagine a more real driving scenario than driving a car.
Say you came, and this is interesting. Say you came to me and
by the way, don't just say something is interesting. No, Let us be the judge. Okay.
I know. Well, I'm a self-aware person. I like to judge myself as well. I thought that was interesting. What I had said, and you're welcome to, you can judge it on your own, but say you want to learn how to drive and you call me and you call or email me.
How do you prefer to be contacted?
Email.
You respond to emails better than calls and texts?
Terribly uncomfortable with phone calls. I'm not good.
Do you have crippling social anxiety?
It's beyond crippling. It's the majority of my anxiety comes from.
How are you even on this show right now talking to us? I mean, Adam is a big movie star and I'm podcast famous.
I have my eyes closed. I'm not listening at all. I'm pretending I'm talking to myself. That's a trick that my therapist taught me. Pretend you're talking to yourself when you're having a conversation with somebody and it doesn't always work.
You're getting rid of our Zoom boxes and you're just looking at yours. Essentially.
That is correct. And I'm going off instinct when I respond. I don't know if any of this is fitting into the conversation.
Wait, so you're not even listening to us?
Guessing. I'm hungry too. Now, say you want to learn to drive. Well, what I'd say is like, well, what do you have scheduled this week? And how can we fit it in with my schedule? So I might say, I have a dinner on Friday night. I'm going to schedule you to drive me to dinner. and you will wait outside the dinner until I'm done with the dinner and drive me home. And on the way, by doing that, you're putting yourself not just in this situation where you feel pressured to learn how to drive. You're actually taking me somewhere I need to go.
So it's a win-win.
You can do whatever you want while you wait, as long as you stay there. You can listen to music. And then...
It sounded like you were going to start a list. Listen to music. Your voice went up. Listen to music. And then you just moved on.
I prefer you just listen to music. And that was my way of nicely saying it. And I didn't want to demand.
Like their own music that they bring or music that you have provided for them?
I prefer it's the music I provide.
What is the music that you like?
It's Christopher Cross's Sailing. And it's constant. Constant.
Okay.
And honestly, only the bridge.
So it picks up mid-song, does the bridge, and then
and loops.
Oh my
it loops
God.
On the bridge. Mm. It's a beautiful, it's calming. And I found that most of my, the majority of my clientele, it calms them while they're waiting.
I don't
waiting
know if that would be calming to me.
That might feel, that might be tense.
I know. It feels that way, but it actually eventually, some of my dinners go on for a long time.
Why? Well, who are you going to dinner with?
I can go to dinner almost always by myself.
Why? Then why are they taking so long? Usually when you go to dinner by yourself, it's like expedient and you like sort of fly through it because you don't have to wait for everyone else.
Well, Gary Candles likes to sit at a table and camp out. I like to camp.
That's
out.
The other thing. Restaurants don't like that because you're taking up a two-top, presumably, unless you're getting a whole booth to yourself.
You're not
which
wrong.
Is even worse.
You're not wrong. They
and
hate
that's a quarter of a check that they normally would get tipped on.
Oh, and I don't tip. And legally, they can't kick you out. And when I learned that, I thought that's fun. That they legally can't kick you out. Once you sit down and you make any purchase, you can stay there.
They can legally kick you out.
Not legally.
Any business can legally kick anyone out.
Well, not, no, I get squatter's rights. Once I sit down.
Do you handcuff yourself to the table as well, or?
No, I tie myself to the table, but I honestly, things have been, I haven't profited a ton of money through my business yet. And do you know, real handcuffs are very expensive. And I found that just a small book on Boy Scout knots, I can tie a few knots that will be just as effective as a pair of handcuffs.
Where'd you find this book?
I am too. I'm very hungry.
Okay. So far, Adam, I think we've just lucked into getting a lot of the answers to our questions. I don't even know if he knows he's answering
it's
these
true.
Questions.
Well, there's other scenarios as well. I mean, I could have to go to the airport. I could have to go to the grocery store.
The airport, are they allowed to leave after you get out of the car? Or do you have to wait for the return trip?
They're allowed
trip?
To do anything they want as long as they stay there and listen to music.
Okay, again, you ended very abruptly with that list.
Well, it's a proverb, but if it is a different song at the airport, then if I go to the airport, they're allowed to listen to more than just the bridge. They can listen to the first verse and the bridge, but I do take ridiculously long trips.
Where are you going on your trips?
Oh, I don't fly out. I just go to the airport. But I stay. Have you seen the Tom Hanks movie?
We might be talking about the what is it called? The departure.
The terminal.
Terminal. That's it. Yeah. I thought that was going to be about a cancer patient when I saw it.
No. Or we don't know. Maybe it was.
Maybe he was. Yeah. Maybe he immediately died right when that film ended.
We don't know. But that's where I did learn that you can
good double
you
meaning.
You have squatter's rights in an airport as well, and you can stay there as long as
you
want.
Did you hear about that guy who recently was at the airport during the pandemic just because he didn't want to go home because he thought that would be unsafe? Mm-hmm. It's worse at an airport, I would think.
This is crazy.
So that was you.
That was me.
Gary Candles.
Well, that's my name. Wear it out. But yeah, absolutely. It was me. And I had a ball.
So your business isn't doing well.
No. Well, it's not profiting. I wouldn't say it's not doing well.
I would say that's synonymous with not doing well. I mean, the people get into businesses to profit normally.
Well, I feel my inkwell is pretty full, if you know what I mean.
I don't know what you mean.
I mean that my spiritual bundle is stuffed.
Again, you're going to have to be more specific because I don't know what you mean. You're happy? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, my soul is full. And that, because I don't like to equate monetary success or career success or the growth of any individual life. I don't equate that with.
Are you still talking to us or are you answering an imagined question that you.
It's a funny thing when people try to figure out what's going to make them happy in life. And I'll tell you the truth for me is that I think of life as a bunch of scratch tickets. Every day is a scratch ticket and they're all, you have a chance to win either a dollar.
again, you just, you've only made like a dollar a day.
Oh, I have not made a dollar a day.
Losing tickets a lot of times.
I do. I feel like I've scratched, but you know, they say the more you scratch, you're going to hit one of the big ones. So I feel like I could at any moment get the big scratcher.
I mean, that is scratcher. A way to look at life. It's just like every single day you wake up, you get a scratch ticket. Mm-hmm. And then one of those days you'd scratch off, you know, three skull and crossbones and you just keel over dead.
That's right. Or you could get three little angels with bows that, and the bows you can see are being shot towards another little angel, hitting him square in the face.
This is like a cartoon strip, like a three panel cartoon.
Yeah. What kind of scratch tickets do you use? Mine are, you open them up and you read all a little cartoon that tells a story.
Then when you open it up, are there headlines as well about news stories?
Mm-hmm. And you can learn all about
this. This is a newspaper. you're not winning it. This is not the lottery. This is a newspaper.
That is new. That's news to me. And that might explain why I haven't been able
to. Every day it's news to you.
Yeah, every day it's news. And I scratch off the.
What are you scratching?
It looks like ink on the paper. If you scratch off certain words, you can recreate sentences and make it into the news you want.
So you're cutting out headlines from the newspaper and turning them into other things. Yes. Are you sending these missives to anyone? Well, and did you ever live in San Francisco in the 1970s?
I actually did live in San Francisco in the 1970s, and I had a horrible time.
Zodiac sign? I mean, maybe it sounds like an unrelated question, but
I don't want to talk too much about that because honestly, and I know we're all joking around, but the 70s for me were a horrible, horrible, horrible time. I was moody. I was so moody, and I got so mad sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's set that aside.
Yeah. Because here's what I want to do. I want to offer. I want to use your platform.
How can we help you? Obviously, we're giving Adam the CBB bump here with the Kid Detective. He's going to be tracking his movie the day after this episode drops, and he's going to see a giant peak in the algorithm here. And how can we help you similarly?
Well, I think Adam right now could commit to using me to help people drive on his next film. I think that would be something that he could do immediately because I like to think of things that you can do immediately. And if you commit verbally or on any other way to me, then we can set that up.
Yeah, Adam, what's your next film? Is it a driving film? Is it Fast and the Furious sort of?
It's Shazam 2, but I imagine there'll be lots of driving in it.
I mean, those superheroes, normally they fly, but I can only imagine gets tiring.
Well, there's a whole, they live in the city.
Right. So there's, in the background, you see probably hundreds of cars.
And sometimes they figure very prominently. The last one had a bus hanging off of the overpass. So
see, somebody probably had to learn how to drive drive that bus to just get it just right to hang off the overpass.
Adam, do you think that there's maybe a role for Gary Candles in the new?
Oh, I'd freeze up. I would freeze up. I would freeze up. You don't want me in front of a camera. I'd freeze up. I can feel myself freezing up right now. And pee just a little.
Well, here's an idea. Maybe this is kind of a way to, if you weren't, if you were not just the driving instructor, but the driver.
I mean, it sounds to me like you're not that great of a teacher.
Well, I mean, that's very nice of you to say, but I
don't think he's hearing me. Yeah, he is. He's not listening to
because
me.
A lot of people will say I'm not great at teaching. So
I mean, he came close. To be honest, it was the same subject matter. He just took the opposite meaning of what I said.
I enjoy a compliment just as much as the next guy.
Well, I would like to help your business. How can people get a hold of you? You mainly like to do it through email.
The majority, if not all, is done through my email. _Gary_
You start your email with an underscore?
Just so nobody steals it.
Okay. All right.
_Gary_Candles_DriveYourselfCrazy_1984_DrivingSchool@Toyota.org.
Toyota.org? Wait. How did you get a Toyota.org email address?
They don't check. So I took it. They don't check. It's an easy way to get a free email.
Mm. Wow. Okay. Well, people, I don't know that we can necessarily repeat that email address, but hopefully people can
_Gary_Candles_DriveYourselfCrazy_1984.
Okay. Sure.
_DrivingSchool@Toyota.org.
Why 1984, by the way? Was that an important year for you?
It was just when I came out of my slump in San Francisco. And I swear I saw the light and I was like, I'm changing my ways.
So if you want to be taught driving from someone who hung out in San Francisco sending anonymous letters and had a real bad time.
Scratch tickets, by the way.
Scratch tickets, who may have lured people into his vehicle back in the 70s. So he's got a lot of experience behind the wheel is what I'm trying to say.
I had a different philosophy on teaching back then.
All right. Gary Candles, we need to take a break. When we come back, my neighbor is going to be on the podcast. I almost said on the phone because we're talking about the phone, but that would be interesting. When we come back, we're going to be right back with more Adam Brody, more Gary Candles. We'll be right back with more Comedy Bang Bang after this. Comedy Bang Bang, we're back. We have Adam Brody, the kid detective, is out right now, available on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital, running approximately 109 minutes. Is that correct?
Yeah, down to the minute.
I got it, really. Yeah, so now if you only have 105, there's probably 4 minutes of credits that you could skip through if you had to.
Yeah, if you got 105, I still say do it, and you'll find where to cut.
Yeah, if you had to go to the restroom in the middle of it, would you say pause because you don't want to miss anything, or is there a good scene to do it in?
Oh my god! Just if you have one of those pause buttons, I would say hit it. But if you don't,
not a lot of people do. I mean, we don't want to be these like Hollywood celebrity types who are like, oh, I have a pause button.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to assume. So I guess if you don't have a pause button, you know, try your best not to go. And if you have to go,
maybe just a portable bidet situation where, you know, you have just a pot next to your couch or something like that. So you don't miss
anything.
Yeah,
what do you call that besides a bidet? It's a... A chamber pot. Yeah. You grab a chamber pot or
grab yourself a chamber pot.
We call it a thunder jug. Have you used a thunder jug?
I have
a thunder jug in all my cars.
In your cars?
In my cars. I use a thunder jug.
Do you empty them?
Mm-mm.
Gary Candles, by the way, is here, driver instructor. I was going to say to the stars, but Babe is the only one that you mentioned who is a star.
Well, the thunder jug, it's interesting to me, but that word thunder sticking to me makes me think of more of a number two situation.
You guys were just talking about number ones.
Oh, wait, you're doing number twos in your car?
Well, it's called the thunder jug.
What? You called it that. It doesn't have to be a thunder jug.
I thought somebody else said it before I did.
All right. Well, look, we need to get to our next guest. This is exciting because I haven't really met anyone in my new neighborhood. I invited my neighbor, Tina, onto the show, and I want to welcome her. Please welcome to the show, Tina.
Hi.
Hi. Great to meet you.
Hello.
Hey, hi. It's, I'm glad to be here. It's nice.
Good. Well, I'm happy to have you. This is Adam Brody.
Is this your guys' first time meeting?
Yeah. It actually, it is. I mean, I actually, asked to be on the show because, I mean, I, as you might know, I'm next door.
Yeah, and you're my next door neighbor. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Right next door. Tina. And I asked to be on the show because I'm like a really like super not a confrontational person, but I just feel like
neither am I.
Like
a couple... That's going to work out great.
Oh, awesome. Great.
It's so nice to meet you. It's so nice to have you on the show.
Oh, I mean, I'm really happy to be here. I just kind of thought we could take this opportunity to discuss like just some neighbor, I don't know, like etiquette kind of stuff.
When you mean etiquette, what do you mean? Like napkins at the dinner table? Like, do they go in your lap or I've never, you know, or
they
do you just keep
lap.
It? They do
just,
go in your
they
lap?
Go in
okay.
Your, yeah.
Do you wipe your hands on the tablecloth or, you know, what do you mean? Is that, no?
No.
Okay. All right. Wait, okay.
Yeah, no, I guess I'll just cut to the chase. I mean, I'm sure you're aware of like the noise level kind of coming from your home.
I am in the middle of my home and I, mm-hmm. so I'm aware of what goes on in my home. Is that what you're mm-hmm. asking me? Or
mm-hmm. Well, it occurs to me, I guess this is a lot of what you're doing. Like I'm in my house all the time, working from home, on Zoom all day. And I'm like hearing a lot of you just sort of talking, kind of laughing, kind of saying like odd little things. And it's,
are you talking, maybe it's the catchphrase submissions, the odd things that I have to say at the beginning. We had a really funny one. You weren't here for it, mm-hmm. but let me repeat it. It was Nicknames Expert said, every tool is a hammer if you put parachute pants on it.
Yeah, and I heard that.
Oh, you did hear that? Oh, okay, great. That's funny. That's the kind of thing that we do on this show. It's like little non sequiturs, it's kind of irreverent, but it's sort of, you know, abstract as well. It's kind of random, if I don't mind saying. And so it's like, you know, I mean, that's kind of the vibe of this show. You know, Adam gets it. He was on the show 8 years ago.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry. What is this?
Oh, it's a podcast. Podcasts are like radio, but for millennials and, you know, and that's kind of my show is for millennials and younger, you know, it's like hip.
Like, wait, don't tell me or what?
No, that's, I think, for an older audience. You get it.
I mean, I'll be like fully honest. I don't. But whatever kind of like. Like your hobbies are your hobbies. That's great. I mean, I have not really a hobby.
It's kind of my profession in a way. I mean, I do it professionally, technically. Although I tell you what, sometimes it doesn't seem like a job because it's so fun. And then other times it really seems like a job, if you know what I mean.
That's so nice because I was honestly feeling really bad. I was like, this man has no job because I'm, you know, there's that one window by your kitchen. You're always like walking back and forth. You're like carrying a bowl. I'm like, this is just a man who's like eating an oatmeal all day. So I'm like glad that this feels like a job.
It's an oversized bowl. I call it fun salad and it's just whatever leftovers I have that day. You know, I just throw it in. Sometimes it's like, you know, hey, it's fried chicken and beans. And, you know, other times it's, I mean, not often is it caviar and, you know, champagne. But whatever's left in the fridge, I just throw it in there.
It's like a thunder jug.
I want to be clear. Not like a thunder jug.
Just like a thunder jug.
Yeah. I am like, you're allowed to eat whatever trash out of a bowl you want. But I also like your spoon on that bowl is like loud as a ringing bell. And like, I have a very like hard work schedule. Like I'm pretty much I work from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Oh, that doesn't, I mean, that's that. I mean, it doesn't seem like a hard schedule at all. What do you actually do for a living? If you don't mind my asking?
Well, I do mind you asking, but I will tell you.
Can I apologize?
Actually, no, because I don't believe in apologies. I believe in knowing better before you do the thing.
I see.
I'm a graphic designer. I do graphic design for KFC. I would say Kentucky Fried Chicken, but it's now just called KFC. It's actually Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Graphic design. Do you do the buckets or advertisements? What do you?
Yeah, I do the advertisements. So the buckets are a part of what I do. Like a lot of times I'm most of the time using Photoshop. You're probably not familiar because it seems like you just talk.
I can't say I use it all the time, but I definitely know what it is. It's like where you take picture and you do something to it, right?
the way you trailed off made me think you're lying.
I don't know exactly what it is, but I mean, I don't have to, right? I mean, guys like Adam and me, we're very similar, Adam, you know, like we don't need to use Photoshop. Yeah. You know what I mean? Other people use Photoshop for us.
More talking.
Adam, do you also not have a job?
Not really. No. Okay. No, but I do a lot of thinking and, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's like the work you put in before the job, you know, do a lot of thinking and
got to fill up the tank, the cup, you know, and then before I.
You're going to say like a thunder jug again, aren't you, Gary?
I was just thinking it's coming. If you throw it up in the air, daddy's got to take a swing.
You're not talking about the thunder jug there, are you?
Nah, I'm as
hungry. You're not using it as a pinata, are you?
I'm as hungry as anyone, guys, and I'd love to do that.
Okay. So are you the person who sort of like when Norm MacDonald became the Colonel Sanders, did you design that?
My job, it's a big company. My job is if an advertisement calls for a bucket of chicken, I individually fill the bucket with digital chicken.
Digi chicken.
Yes.
Is it digital bucket or it's a real bucket that you fill with digital chicken?
Is that an earnest question?
As earnest as The Importance Of by Mr. Who wrote that? Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Who wrote it? Oh, Henry? No. Another one
Oscar
of those.
Oscar Wilde, maybe?
Oscar Wilde. Thank you. I knew it was an O name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really. I don't know. I'm not.
This is kind of, you're getting the vibe of the show, right? We kind of goof around and we, you know, I mean, it's like we're entertaining. You know, it's mainly an entertainment podcast, you know, where people are like, ha ha, oh, I'm really enjoying myself.
Okay. Well, you know, again, like, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but like.
You're my guest here. So take up. I mean, this is your segment. Please get whatever you want to get off your chest. Can we say get off your chest in this environment these days? I'm not quite sure. Off your brain? Is that it? I'm mainly interested in your brain, not your chest. Is that that's okay to say, right?
Say go off, queen.
Yeah, go off, queen. Yeah.
Thank
you.
Adam understands. Thank you. I just have like a couple other things that I wouldn't, that like, just again, feel like regular neighbor things. Like if you could just like, okay, you know, your car.
Yeah. The one I drive.
Yeah, like the one in the driveway. It's like outside sometimes, you know, you park it or whatever. It just like feels like it would be much better for me if you like put it like a sheet or a tarp over it so I don't have to like see it.
What's so offensive about my car? I mean, I'm a big fan of movie memorabilia, you know?
Yeah, it's just there's like too many stickers on it. There's too many. There's like that big.
Those aren't stickers. Those are the Ghostbusters logo. I mean, it's Ecto 2. You realize how valuable that is?
And no, I like don't know what that is. And that
it's a
man,
ghost,
that
it's a,
man.
It's a ghost holding up two fingers to say like this is the sequel, which I always was like when you're watching Ghostbusters 2, how do they know it's the sequel? Why is the logo holding up two fingers?
Yeah, I don't really watch movies. Like, again, like, Adam, I know you, it seemed like you said you're some kind of entertainer, like you're in movies. I'm not that.
Just want to throw this out there really quick. But would you consider at KFC doing a thunder bucket?
A bucket designed for someone to defecate.
Well, you have the chicken originally in it. But a lot of people, I would say the majority of people are eating a bucket of chicken in their car. So wouldn't it be?
It's like, why not eliminate the middleman? You got the bucket for the chicken and then use the bucket on the other way out.
It's greener that way.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, just like walk me through this though. Like, so you think we should have an advertisement demonstrating somebody defecating into an empty bucket of chicken?
It could just be a picture of somebody like me, like sitting by themselves in a old, unworkable station wagon.
Sure. Or like, you know, somebody walking around his kitchen, just like clanging a spoon against his bowl endlessly.
I'm sorry. Yes, I have metallic bowls and metallic spoons. I didn't realize that, you know, bumping them up. I apologize. I didn't realize that was going to make so much noise. And I'm a heavy slurper. So that, you know, doesn't help things. Yeah. I can only imagine.
I have the tapes.
I have narcolepsy, and so I'm in and out of snoring while it's happening.
I think
happening,
maybe working so in the paper bucket industry, too, might be.
Yes.
You might have a little, I don't know, prejudice against the ceramic stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah, plastic, you know, your plastic spoons that are being given, you know, come on. I mean, some of us can afford one metallic bucket and one metallic spoon.
Okay. Okay. I mean, you know, fair enough. I don't really like respect that or relate to it, but like we can move. So actually you can't buy just a bucket, and we're at, it's, there's actually a very specific code. Cause like for a while we were,
if someone goes in and orders just a bucket, there's a code that, that gets put over the PA.
Yeah, it's a code red. They're
code red. That's the worst code.
Yeah. They're subtly escorted out of the store.
How subtle?
Well, we wait. We ask them to wait 5 minutes for their order to come up, and then we call security. And security sort of gently puts their arm around this person's waist and kind of
around the waist. That's very intimate.
Well, it's gentle. It is gentle.
It is subtle, though. I do agree, but it's very intimate. Maybe you should have characterized it as intimate.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. All right. If you want to correct my language, but yeah, it's just, it's, some, there was a point at which we were making the buckets look too good, and basically just everyone was coming in for just buckets, and we couldn't move any chicken.
Right.
Right. Did you have to do something with the buckets to make them look less good, or?
Yeah.
What did you?
And that was actually my job. That was bad. Yeah. I just had to Photoshop stains on them.
Like grease stains?
Yeah. Grease stains. I did one that was a dirt stain. That was hard because you think it's easy to like Photoshop dirt onto something, but like,
it's just like a few brown specks, I would imagine.
Exactly. And like that, well, but that could be anything, you know, like it always ends
that
up
could
looking
be the true thunder bucket.
Well, yes. Again, seem very committed to this idea of
Tina,
defecating into a bucket.
You know, if I were walking through the Irish countryside and I were to see a big pot of gold, would I say, hey, that's not my gold? I'm going to turn my nose up at it, and I'm just going to continue on because I didn't take that trip looking for gold. I actually took the trip to get some exercise or to go see a friend. I didn't go
well,
there looking for gold.
I know you're not doing that because, again, I basically never see you walk around. I'm always
okay, but this is a metaphor. Yeah, I'm sort of a homebody, but what I'm trying to say is,
you can take a walk around the block. That's all I'm saying.
You're passing up this gold that Adam and to a lesser extent Gary and I is really, you know, giving you here. This is a multi-million dollar idea for your company. You could get a promotion.
It's a thunder pot. A thunder pot of gold. That's what a leprechaun's pot is. It's a thunder pot of gold because they shit gold, according to...
Are we moving on from the thunder bucket branding? Because I really, I thought
that
was a little...
That's got a ring to it. That's the, yeah.
Yeah, thunder pot is weaker. So, you know, don't gild the lily here, you know.
Well, I actually...
I take your gold shit in point, though. That's good.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
I mean, I would kind of turn that question around on Gary even and say, like, it sounds like you're operating a failing business. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't you advertise your thunder buckets if you believe them to be such good business?
This is a great idea because, okay, have you ever, and I'm speaking to you right now, Adam, have you ever been out there on the town? You're going out to Nobu.
Sure,
or,
with you know, so far.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, you get it. Like I'm relating to you on your level. Spago, Nobu. And you're out there and you're like, oh no, I need to take a massive dumpster.
Yep.
What if you were like Uber for bathrooms, Gary, where you drove your thunder bucket to the people from an app, and they get inside your barely working station wagon, they do their business, and then they leave, and they don't have to worry about like, oh no, you know, what kind of business did I do in there? Is the next person who's coming into the stall going to be like, look at what I just did and say, oh my God, I shared a stall with Adam Brody after he went to Nobu and he just made a whole mess of everything. You know, it's like privacy.
I'm listening.
I really,
I don't know if he's listening, to be honest.
I like the first part. I take your point of driving the bucket around, but, and this is going to exclude the guests, so I apologize, but I think you hit on something here, which is a sort of, you know, gig economy sharing app for borrowing people's toilets. You're driving through a neighborhood and you have to shit.
Even
you can
better.
Put your toilet for sale for rent the same way they do it for pools now and stuff. Someone yes. can just come in and take a dump in your house and leave, and you get $10 or whatever.
You get privacy. Charge. You get there's like some sort of NDA that
you rate it.
They sign.
Of course, like it'll be everything would be rated for cleanliness and what have you. Anyway,
sure.
I don't want to get distracted, but I do think there's.
This is an even better idea. You know what? Forget KFC. Forget Gary. I think you and I just need to go in on
in
this
business. Yeah.
Have you ever created an app?
No, this would be my first app.
I think I believe in you, though. I think you can do it.
This seems good because the two of you, again, like seem like you need something to do with your endless time. So I'm
going to be honest. Yeah. But Adam and I, we have a lot of time on our hands, it seems.
I would just, again, like request that as you are talking to Adam about this in the future, like, is there a place in your home where you could maybe like speak more quietly? Is there like a closet where you could put a comforter onto yourself? Or could you just like have your conversations between the hours of like 11 and 2 and then like be silent the rest of the time?
Well, look, you know this building better than anyone. You know, these are studio apartments.
Yes.
The walls are as thin as paper. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere else I can go. I mean, what do you want me to go into the bathroom?
Well, I wish the bathroom provided some kind of sound insulation, but unfortunately it doesn't. And I mean, like,
and I'm sorry that the wall of my bathroom, you know, adjoins your bedroom. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I mean, it's fine. It like doesn't bother me. I'm just asking if you could like refrain from using the bathroom when I am sleeping, which is
those are my
from
prime hours,
2 p.m. until anywhere from 4 to the next morning.
Look, I can't predict it when it's going to happen, but when it does, it comes out in just a flurry, and I'm sorry. Yeah. And I'm sorry that I feel the need to comment on it when it comes out, but it's surprising every single time.
Well, and what's like, I would be better able to tune it out if you said like the same thing every time, but you say a different thing every time.
I gotta keep it fresh.
I mean, it's like, even if you could just like be a little less high pitched, like even if it's just like a little less operatic.
Well, tell you what, why don't we put a hole in the wall that connects my bathroom to your bedroom? And that way you can stick your arm through if ever I'm making too much noise, or I could peek through if you're ever, you know, making any kind of noise or you have a visitor over and, you know.
No offense, Scott, but that sounds really perverted.
You sticking your hand through my wall? I'm okay
well,
with it.
Me sticking my hand through your wall and you peeking into it. Like, it,
I don't
honestly,
know that I would peek.
Like,
I would just kind of look. You know,
I
peeking
think you
implies I'm trying to be secretive about it.
Well, and it's kind of more upsetting because instead of a peephole, I would see like the top like chunk of your face.
Yeah, just approximately like 51% of my face.
The majority
of my face. Yeah.
That sounds, it sounds upsetting. It sounds,
okay, can,
like,
well,
imagine
we can talk about it.
Looking
imagine
at your
what?
Bathroom wall and just seeing like eyes, nose, and a top lip.
Okay. Well, we can talk about it. I'm imagining like a porthole. You know what I mean? Like, you ever go on a Disney cruise? You know what I mean? And
no, I hate the water.
We can talk about the whole porthole situation. I think every room, you know, I know it's just we have studios, but I would put one in the bathroom, put one in the kitchen that, you know, is adjacent to your bathroom, my kitchen, your bathroom, just a couple of portholes. We can talk about this. We'll just it would open up communication between us. And I think it would be a great idea for us to do.
I would prefer not to do that and then to only communicate with you via Zoom.
Okay, well, we can find a middle ground in there somewhere. Maybe one porthole instead of two, and no Zooms. That'll probably be what we do. But we are, unfortunately, running out of time here, and we only have time for one final feature on the show, and that is a little something called plugs.
I am sitting all alone in the night in the backyard. Dog comes out, takes a squat, then goes back inside. A cloud blanket is giving the sky a spanking, and the bright city lights cast a glow upon the whole thing. Streets is tough, and it's enough to live a life worth living. When you're giving all you got, you gotta stop your body and sit there with your thoughts. I'm always gonna try to have a backyard, and if I have a backyard, I'm gonna sit in it real hard. A geese flock squawking draws my eyes to clocking. They're very handsome V, low enough that I can see. Even make out some feet as I rise to go pee. And then I think I hear your bicycle approaching on the street. And I call out, "Dude, sweet, in the backyard."
That was nice. That was "I'm in the Backyard" by Be Brave Bold Robot. Adam, you're a musician. What do you think of that?
I'm not, but I like to dabble. That was good. That was good. Nice.
That was good.
That was good.
That's
flow.
The pull quote.
Felt like there was more than just a bridge. They had seemed like they had a chorus, kind of a verse.
Yeah, sail away type bridge
for a song, really.
Yeah, I liked it. Thanks to Be Brave Bold Robot. And finally, we're moving away from songs that are merely about plugs as well. That seemed to be about someone being in the backyard. So it was just, you know, 10 years of people singing about plugs. It just got to be very repetitive. It's like having businessmen on this show constantly.
I like the beginning of that song when a dog went to the backyard and took a dump.
I don't think you're hearing what I'm hearing. All right, Adam, what are we plugging? Obviously, The Kid Detective. It's available now.
Yeah, that's it.
Kid Detective on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital. Give it a watch. I think people will like it. I really enjoyed it. All right. Gary Candles, what are you plugging?
Well, if you ever find yourself in a situation where you have to use the restroom and you're out and about and you don't have one, I'd love you to try my app. Air P&P. And
what?
And you can.
Does stand for pee and poo?
Well, I haven't decided on that yet, but it's my app. If you're interested in investing, we can talk about that.
Adam, your app yet?
No, I know. Intellectual property. I say all my ideas to everyone,
man.
Right? As they come to me. It's not good. It's not good.
Snooze, you lose. We were beat out for this app. This is terrible news. All right. Well, yeah, make sure you check that out. Anything else you want to plug there, Gary? Anything on TV or anything that you like?
That's great. That's fantastic.
He's not listening to me. All right. Tina, this is a part. I know you've never heard the show. You've only heard me doing it next door. But
yeah.
When you're on the show, you can talk about anything that you have coming up or anything maybe you're watching on TV or anything like that. So this is kind of your time to shine. You can talk about anything you want.
I mean, I have a lot coming up. I have a big assignment where I have to put two buckets of chicken on one page because we're doing like a two buckets for $12.99.
Oh, no.
And then I have to Zoom with my uncle and he's always like wants to talk about his feet or whatever. Coming up.
Are you going to put that the one bucket behind the other bucket so they both fit, or are you going to put them side by side?
Slightly behind,
right.
Which is harder than you think.
That sounds tough because perspective and...
Well, exactly.
Yeah. And your uncle talking about his feet or your feet?
His feet. They're small and he's always surprised by it.
Oh, okay. I can understand that. If, you know, so you look down and you see those things and you're like, holy shit.
You're like, are these mine? Yeah. You get it.
I understand. Yeah. Okay.
Honestly, you could take this opportunity to plug your show because it seems like it's not.
Sure,
as popular
I'll plug.
As yeah, wait, don't tell
I never
me,
think so to I, do that because people are already listening to it. But yeah, listen to Comedy Bang Bang every week. That would be. All right. Before we close up the old plug bag, we have a closing remix just submitted by Adam Stone. Let's hear it. Let's close up the old plug bag.
When you see something open, get a rope up and start to twist. Then you find that you're getting a little I missed. You think you're crying and you know what to do. Get up in there and do what you do. You gotta open up the plug bag. Open it up. Open up the plug bag. Make sure it's not closed. Open up the plug bag. Make sure you got oxygen. And don't mess around with it.
Make sure you don't mess around. Don't mess around. You make sure you don't mess around. Don't mess around. Don't mess around. Don't mess around.
That shit.
Wow, Adam Stone. Not bad. Somehow these always end up being longer than the actual Plug Bag theme. It's, and that's already too long. Guys, I want to thank you so much. Adam, it's great to have you back on the show. Come back in another eight years.
Seven,
yeah,
eight,
2029.
Yeah.
The world will be right at the precipice of ending.
Yeah.
I think. good luck with everything. Great to see you again.
Thanks, likewise.
Gary Candles, good luck with, look, we missed out. You beat us to it. Good luck with your business.
Yeah, what one person's success is everybody's success. For, don't forget to fill your inkwell.
Okay. And Tina, great to see you. Great to meet you. And so we've decided the one porthole situation with kind of a open and close situation. Either one of us can open it or, you know, at any time. Is that what we're talking about?
Absolutely not. We will speak again. It was so nice.
It's so nice meeting you.
It really is so nice to meet you.
It's always wonderful.
I love knowing the neighbors.
I love it. I love it. And you're a wonderful person. Speaking of wonderful people, we will have more on the show next week. So we'll see you next time. Thanks. Bye. Remember the first time you learned how to ride a bicycle? Just taking your feet off of the ground and putting them on those pedals. And oh no, nothing's holding you up except your own sense of balance. Oh gosh, the nostalgia for something like that. Well, you know what? You can experience it again. This spring, get out there, enjoy the weather, and recapture the magic of riding a bike with Electric E-Bike. That's right. They have an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, including mine, poor. It's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Go to electricebikes.com to discover e-bikes that start at just $799. With the XP Lite, anyone can ride with a variety of models designed to be a better mode of transportation. There's the zippy and affordable XP Lite, a great start to any e-bike journey. And we also have the Expedition. That's right, the letter X and then Pedition, a sturdy and versatile cargo e-bike that can hold up to 450 pounds. You know what? Electric e-bikes, they gave my good friend Paul F. Tompkins one of these things. He loves it. He's tootling around every day on it. Ring, ring. Hello. Hello, everyone. It's improved his social life. He used to be a hermit. He used to be sort of a Scrooge-like miser character. And now he's out there on that electric e-bike saying hello to the entire community. And you can, too. Go full throttle into spring with Electric E-Bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com. Please, please, please mention the Comedy Bang Bang the podcast sent you in the post-checkout survey. That is electric, L-E-C-T-R-I-C, and then ebikes.com. That's how you get there. Okay, bye.